I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, I don't think you'll be disappointed with the quality and amount of information going to be coming your way in the next hour or so. We're going to be talking about different types of yoga. We'll be talking about stargates and time dilation, stretching timelines. We'll be in doing some research related to the Inner Earth people, as well as the Founders and the Patal, and probably a few other things will pop up along the path as well. But before we get into all that, I'd like to kick off the show in the usual manner, and that would be having a little bit of Japa Yoga, or mantra repetition. And that'll be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. And if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om. Hari Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Om Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om.
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 Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Om Hari Om. Hari Om.
Om
Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari Om. Hari Om.
Om
Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Hari Om.
Hari Hari.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And the word Shanti at the end, meaning peace. And on ET Yoga, when we use the word yoga, we're using it in the proper context, which means union of you and your higher self. I'd like to now give my short disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET Yoga, you should know that I also totally applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as is humanly possible, giving due credit to those people in service who do provide amazing results with respect to emergency situations. But other than that, I applaud your efforts to try to become totally self-sufficient and sovereign with respect to not only creating excellent health, but in dealing with situations as they arise. In preparation for tonight's program, as usual, learned a lot of new things. Hope to pass those on to the listening audience this evening. And speaking of the listening audience, much gratitude and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience just for being you. And as Bashar would say, you're already making the optimum difference just by being you. And others become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. I'd like to also give a special thanks to those of the ET Yoga listening audience who do take the time to email me. I know that there's lots of listeners out there who have been listening for about 10 years or so. And sometimes finally it kind of clicks that let's give ET Yoga a little bit of an email. And you can always email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paper, P-A-P-E-R, fungo, F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo, all one word, @yahoo.ca. And I also have my website at etyoga.com. And at etyoga.com, there is a free download, and you won't be tracked or followed or hassled for the next 2 years because you contacted the website and downloaded the free download there. The free download is about the root cause of disease, and I think you'll find it very practical, useful, and relates to nine basic concepts to totally understand the root cause of disease. As well as at the site, my latest book, which is ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. I've got some really excellent feedback on that particular book. If you like ET Yoga, you'll probably like the book because it's jam-packed with information. It's about 300 pages, and it's not set up like normal books. It's set up basically to deal with about 64 different major topics. And the information in there, I find, definitely would also coincide with the ebooks that I have at the etyoga.com site, which are about developing perfect health, as well as giving some guidelines towards a routine and a practice with respect to a spiritual path. And these ebooks were designed so that you didn't have to spend a lot of time looking all over the internet to find things. They are set up and connected to about 250 pages on the internet. Took me a few thousand hours to put everything together. And I do much appreciate the feedback I've had with respect to the quality of that information. So I certainly do appreciate support. There's multiple other articles and products there at the utyoga.com site. And one of the things that came up for me during the week was I was listening to a program by Simon Parks, and he came up with an interesting concept and very similar to the kind of ideas that I came up with. Probably different terminology, but kind of in the long run, maybe the same effect. According to Simon, we are currently in a period of time where the timeline has been stretched. I know many of us have heard about jumping timelines or there being new timelines, but I really thought that was kind of an interesting perspective. A stretching of the timelines. And what exactly would a stretching of the timelines do? Well, a stretching of the timelines would, in a practical sense, be something like if there was going to be an economic collapse, that the process, instead of happening, let's say, at a current place we'll call now, happens at a current place that's down the road a ways. Okay, and to me, kind of explains why that hasn't happened. And if you recall, because I know ET Yoga listeners, you know, you're getting information from all over the internet. It was about 2 years ago when actually even Bashar said that everything would change in the fall of 2016. And coincidentally, Simon Parks was also predicting an economic reset for that time. And as well, so was Barbara Marciniak of the Pleiadians. And these are three sources of information for me that I find really excellent sources of information. However, in this particular regard, all three were incorrect. And I kind of was doing a little meditation about that because I found that rather strange. I mean, usually if you can cross-reference information from those three sources, you're going to be pretty much on the right track. However, this time they were erroneous. And I started doing some thinking about that, and basically I came up with a concept that I had seen once before in Stargate SG-1. And in Stargate SG-1, they had an episode there where they were about to crash, and they put themselves into a time dilation bubble. And this time dilation bubble basically made time outside their ship basically stand still. Inside the ship, they aged, and things went on. But while they were trying to find a way to escape this crash. So it turned out in the episode, it looked like what seemed to be about 40 or 50 years, and then they came out of this time dilation. And this is what I kind of thought was going on in our solar system, that somehow there's some kind of time dilation, that the whole solar system's been put in a time dilation bubble. That probably a lot of events were supposed to have occurred like in 2012 or like this current economic reset. But the kind of the can got kicked down the road, and it's acting like we're in one of those time dilation bubbles. And then further information kind of came out. I was watching a YouTube by Corey Good and David Wilcock, and actually they showed some NASA pictures as well as of Mars and another planetary object in the same frame of picture. And but the other planetary object disappeared the next day. And it was an example of a planetary sphere of energy. And according to Corey Good, there's thousands of these now inside of our solar system, which I guess from a, I don't know, a military point of view, it would look like an invasion of some kind. But on the other hand, we also have information that apparently as the changing of the guards taking place on this planet, and the certain powers that were, let's say, can't apparently escape from not only the Earth, but places in the solar system. So there's definitely some kind of a lockdown or a grid of some kind in place, some kind of energy shield, some kind of time dilation, some kind of time stretching, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot going on that's not obvious, that's for sure. And it also kind of rekindled my connection with the Stargate SG-1. If you haven't seen Stargate SG-1, I highly, highly recommend you try to find these episodes. I've purchased the entire set of their CDs. I find it the most amazing program that I've ever seen. Many of my friends share that opinion. It is basically about, you know, Stargate travel. And considering when the show was done, it is absolutely mind-boggling how many things are related to current events, and especially when you look at how many people can't seem to predict things that are even in the next year or so. There's a program done in the 1990s, and we're 2017, and things that are occurring as we speak are analogous situations in this particular program. It's like they had access to some type of time travel or information. We know that kind of a technology has surfaced from time to time, but this one seems to be accurate, and even with the switching of timelines, it's still accurate. It absolutely boggles my imagination. And the Stargate SG-1 is shaped like a monumental giant standing ring. The stationary outer ring and the concentric spinning inner ring work together to set coordinates that permit interstellar travel. And the outer ring contains 9 chevrons that lock on an inner ring symbol or glyph, and 7 are used to set a destination within Earth's galaxy, and 8 are used to set a destination in another galaxy. It is not known what the 9th chevron is for. The inside ring has 39 symbols called glyphs that refer to actually constellations. And for a normal address, the first 6 symbols set a coordinate in a volume of space, and the 7th returns to a point of origin. When activated, the Stargate creates a wormhole between 2 Stargates that permits near instantaneous travel from one to another. And when the Stargate activates, a blue whoosh of energy emanates out from the gate, destroying anything in its path. After this initial burst of energy, an event horizon, a two-dimensional energy field that permits entry to the wormhole, and that looks like rippling blue water, is created within the ring of the gate itself, and the traveler simply steps through. Anything that goes through the gate will arrive on the other side at the same velocity at which it entered. Average time travel in our galaxy is 0.3 seconds. And Earth had at least 2 stargates. For centuries, they lay buried, rendering them inoperative, one in Giza, Egypt, and the other in Antarctica. Now, could the highly popular television series Stargate SG-1 be more science than fiction? Well, Secret Space Program whistleblower Corey Good claims it is based on real-life advanced travel technologies found all over the planet, solar system, and galaxy. And according to Good, the Stargates were built by a highly advanced ancient civilization not known even to the current extraterrestrial visitors to Earth. And another Secret Space Program whistleblower, Henry Deacon, a.k.a. Arthur Newman, also claims that this is the navigational method used for portal travel. And Deacon began publicly disclosing his information regarding portals and stargates back in an interview in 2006 on Project Camelot. And another whistleblower, Dan Burrish, he claims to have been part of a covert team that went into Iraq to find its portal technologies. Deacon independently confirmed that a stargate had been discovered in Iraq. And I point all that out because, to me, when you watch the program, when I first saw the first time I had seen it on air, it was so. I have a good nose for the truth, and I'm seeing it with my eyes, and it's absolutely amazing. Also, at the end of each of the Stargate programs, there's a like the characters that were in the movie are describing the program. It always says thanks for cooperation from U.S. Space Command. Oh, well, I didn't know there was U.S. Space Command. It says that right on the credits after each episode. And they're talking about this ancient race that set up this Stargate system. And it's another thing that rang true to me, that, yeah, there's a Stargate system. And who are these the founders? Well, at Sal Rachelle, and that's R-A-C-H-E-L-E, Sal Rachelle done some channeling of the Arcturians, and wanted to share with you one of those channelings. This universe you find yourselves in began about 20 billion years ago as a point of light within the mind of God. That point was contained within a greater point of light, which was contained within a greater point, etc., into infinity. There is an aspect of the Godhead that has always existed and that expands and contracts an infinite number of times. All of life is continually expanding and contracting, much like that device you look through with the colored glass, the kaleidoscope. During one of the expansion phases, approximately 4.5 billion years ago, your world you call Earth was formed out of primordial dust and gas. Like all newly formed worlds, it was mostly hydrogen and a few other gases, not containing the kind of life you know. Throughout this physical, chemical process, the Godhead, in an expansion phase, differentiated itself into units of consciousness, which later became known as souls. These original souls, called the founders, are what we represent to you. We were the original sparks of light that were showered out from the infinite source. And during this expansion, our individuality became approximately 1 billion years ago, and we went forth to explore the creation. We found millions of planets in their early stages of development, including your world, and we remained in the form of sparks, although actually we look like large blue-white stars. And to our relatively rarefied level of vibration compared to the vibratory states of these worlds, we were unable to experience life directly on any of these worlds, so we would simply overlight or hover above the atmosphere of these worlds and observe the chemical processes taking place. At some point in the distorted time-space continuum, we decided to embed a tiny part of ourselves into the evolving worlds in order to experience them directly. To do this, we created a multitude of energy patterns, precursors to what you call the DNA molecule. You would call these precursors light packets of conscious energy. These light packets were able to descend in vibration down to what you would call the ninth or tenth density. At that point, we were able to create intricate configurations of light codes, which you now call DNA keys. These DNA keys were the actual building blocks of life as you know it. We then densified these keys down to what you call seventh density, the first level of the actual DNA codes. As seventh density beings, we were finally able to experience this expansion of the universe directly as inhabitants of evolving worlds. We scattered our seed throughout the universe, going to many regions of ever-expanding galactic clusters. As the clusters differentiated further into individual galaxies, we incarnated into several regions of each galaxy. Your galaxy, the one you call the Milky Way, was seated in several quadrants. Your quadrant began in what you call the Lyra Vega region. And that's also been confirmed by many sources, including in the book UFO from the Pleiades by Alfred Meyer in his contacts with Semjazi. And it is here that the first seventh density forms were manifested through manipulating and permutating the DNA codes. It took us nearly 100 million years to perfect this process, and it is only within the last 100 million years that we were able to create the life forms in all the densities down to third density. This process of differentiation is difficult for most Earth souls to comprehend. The best analogy we can give is that of cellular division. Each cell that divides from a parent cell becomes an individual cell in its own right, just as powerful and creative as the parent cell. Each 3D, 4D, 5D, 6D, or 7D being that fragmented itself off from our parent selves, our 12th density core, became a sovereign being or whole and complete soul as it grew and evolved through time, and at the same time, each fragment, as it became aware of its higher aspects, is able to align or connect with those higher aspects, and thereby remember what the state of undifferentiated source energy is like in essence. Each fragment of ourselves is intimately connected to our core, and our core is intimately connected to the Godhead. And we also find out from science that also confirms that the universe is holographic as well as fractal, and it also this information coincides with Bashar information, which states that in point of fact, the all is one and the one is all. Which gives rise to the point that we can have individual awareness, or we can have awareness of ourselves and the higher states of consciousness, or these can also be experienced simultaneously. Now, this is another fascinating aspect of this connection between Stargates and the Founders, and that information comes from Andromedan sources, which is Alex Collier, because the Andromedans consider us to be royalty. Isn't that amazing? And according to the Andromedans, say that we are the Patal that came back down from the 11th density to play this third density, and that the movement involved 21 other star systems. And our everyday here is our own galaxy here is apparently close to the center of our, quote, consciousness universe. We apparently fell into the concept of time prior to 21 billion years ago when third density physicality did not exist. The Patal created third density to play the game when this third density universe was first created and we were at fifth density after having evolved to 11th density. This means we had within our experiences accredited to all these dimensions. And intent is the primal force of creation. It is the isness where intent and desire to explore and expand itself in all possible openness that creates all matter in all dimensions. And I find that quite fascinating. And I've also heard from Dan Winter that according to him, there was actually Patal DNA that was put into our DNA by Enki of the Anunnaki when they manipulated our species. And also when there was the, I call it a downgrading, when basically we were intended to have 12 strands of DNA, but in point of fact, we kind of got slipped down into two for the most part. And wanted to share that that sort of information. And as well, some other really interesting stuff that came up for me in the last week or so. And that is from Brad Johnson, who channels Adronis, and that's Adronis. I would recommend you check out some of his YouTube material. And he has a new service now, and it's called Spiral Akashic Viewing. And through that process, you can find out past and future lives, who your guides are, if there's any implants that you might have, energy enhancements, higher self guidance, cosmic connections, in other words, locating star family, and even parallel lifetimes. And that's a new new service provided by Brad. And also, I checked out one of his channelings, and the channeling was with it's actually called an audience with Nefertitis of the Delphi. And Nefertitis of the Delphi turns out that he, during this channeling, he was representing a group that were 12 in number, 6 male and 6 female, he being the 13th party and was speaking for this group, and of inner earth people. And I find it, I thought it was it's really worth a look. They're actually have interest. According to Nefertitis, he says that there are multiple groups in the inner earth, some not wishing to really have contact with the earth's surface, but his group is one of those that is interested. So the time's going to be coming about. He actually stated that certain humans would be invited to attend the inner earth, kind of like an embassy, and that he currently, his group, Delphi group, is about 30 miles underneath Greece, but that there would be, underneath Switzerland, will be this facility. where they will be taking certain humans and actually teaching them a crystal healing technology, among other things. He suggested that you can meditate on their frequencies and see if you see what you perceive. And quite a fascinating program. And also, I thought it was quite fascinating because it turns out that, yes, the ancient oracle at Delphi, I always kind of wondered the source of that information. Well, it turns out it was the inner earth people. So it was not just in mythology, but an actual occurrence. I felt that whole program was highly, highly fascinating. Brad Johnson and Adronis, Adronis. Like to now kind of switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about some yoga and some of the ideas that we have about yoga. And I like to, again, make reference to the Essenes. And the Essenes, to me, were just a really fascinating a group. The Essenes were ancient Atlantean souls that had completely overcome the problems of health and aging, and even overcame the force of gravity, as the Atlanteans had been able to do. And this is information from Robert Cheney. And I really think it's fascinating stuff because it's the direction that I like to lead. I like to live like an Essene, but in 2017, in other words, to my way of thinking, they really were an advanced group. I mean, they did live in a community that from the outside might have looked primitive, but it's just because they were not super attached to technology. And unlike where it appears we're headed today, which I see this addiction to artificial intelligence and computer technology has just gone... to my way of thinking, we're already heading fast down the wrong road. And three basic principles were followed by the Essenes in their healing. First, it was believed that divinity was expressed in the plant kingdom as an antidote for the illnesses of the human kingdom, and that for every illness there existed a palliative in a root, leaf, bark of a tree or plant. The Essenes, therefore, were herbalists in the highest sense of the word. A second method of healing was to make use of healing stones, bits of various kinds of rock or hardened earth, the power of such stones in influencing magnetic fields under the direction of one who is versed in this type of therapy became common knowledge at a later period. The Essenes also created salves from natural sources. The third method of healing, in which the Essenes were extremely well-versed, drew upon the healing powers of the invisible worlds around them. They acquired an unparalleled mastery in manipulating these healing powers of the superior spheres. They were also aware of the cleansing miracle of pure water. And the Essene communal life was based on a set of rules of conduct or spiritual disciplines and lifestyles. And unknown to me until about last year was that they in fact also had a yoga system, and it united seven basic yoga systems in a grand synthesis. Essene yoga included Raja yoga, which is silent meditation, Hatha yoga, which most people in the West kind of think that yoga is all about, but it's basically the physical postures and breath work. They had bhakti yoga, which was about love, devotion to God. Jnana yoga, the spiritual study and discourse. Laya yoga, the science of using the chakras to bring about higher states of spiritual realization. They had karma yoga, creative work for the upliftment of all, and mantra yoga, verbal prayer, singing and chanting of mantras. And to me, this was really, really amazing stuff, because one of my spiritual teachers was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of Integral Yoga, and all the yogas are exactly the same in Integral Yoga, except for this Laya Yoga. So I kind of was wondering about what can I find out about Laya Yoga as taught by the Essenes, and did come across a very interesting video, and it refers to the a practice of Laya Yoga, and it's stated that Laya Yoga is the science of using the chakras to bring about the progressively higher states of spiritual realization. It is the raising up and transformation of subtle energies via work on the chakras. And this is the science of Kundalini and Tantra. And it is given in the video that I saw. There's a certain mantra that relates to, it's one of the techniques that's used in Laya Yoga, and it's called Om Namo Gurudev Namo. So Om as in O-M, Namo, N-A-M-O, Gurudev, G-U-R-U-D-E-V, Namo, N-A-M-O. And a repetition of this mantra is used with the intention to increase the ability to be intuitive and to heal. And it absorbs you into the unlimited domain of your higher self. And in an English translation, it means, I call upon my higher self to help me do my best. And I found that to be at least touching upon this concept of Laya Yoga. And I was amazed to find out that the Essenes utilized all these different yogas, and that's from like 2,000 years ago, and apparently the Essenes came with their, well, they had a connection with Atlantis, and some of the first ones actually settled in the area around Egypt. And that Egypt, or Egypt, apparently was also the first of the gypsies. And they also had information concerning changing lead to gold, and of the white powder that's created in the alchemical processes. And also how it relates to longevity. And I might add, for those who are interested in that particular subject, and I may actually do some more information concerning the alchemical process of that has been passed down. And I got that information from Cosmic Awareness. And you can actually channel, well, get information from Cosmic Awareness concerning these processes and the white powder of gold, which, of course, is monatomic elements, and they do relate specifically to longevity and turning lead to gold. And according to Cosmic Awareness, in one of the British museums is actually a coin that's was stopped in the in the middle of the process of a coin that's half lead and half gold. And apparently from analysis, you can see that it wasn't like two separate coins, or it's definitely a proof of the process. This process has been sort of forgotten about for a long, long time. And why Cosmic Awareness actually suggests that the only really good books on that subject were probably from 16th century writings, like And Saint Germain was one of those that he recommended, and I think the other was Roger Bacon. Interesting to note, of course, there were severe penalties during at various times in our Earth history, where you know, you could be executed for being involved with this type of stuff, and thus a lot of the information that was passed down was in codes and symbols. And just to kind of whet your appetite a little bit towards about this subject, the secret ingredient, which was never really mentioned as far as I could find in research, it was always given in symbols and codes, but the secret ingredient was actually human urine. And when asked who actually discovered this the white powder, Cosmic Awareness states that it was about 12,500 years ago, so it would have been like Atlantean times, as someone that was working in a field where people used to urinate. At one point there was this white powdered substance, and somebody tried it and tasted it, and that's how it was originally discovered. The process of turning lead to gold came a long time after. But an interesting, the whole thing's kind of an interesting story. I have recommended, although Cosmic Awareness says that the David Hudson articles, and they're on the internet, that's lectures 1, 2, and 3, they are quite fascinating. They don't, according to Cosmic Awareness, they don't totally approximate the Philosopher's Stone the way Cosmic Awareness suggests, but still very similar concept, and definitely worth worth your listening to. I'd like to also reiterate a health point that I have brought up on the show previously. It's about two amazing products. I have nothing to do with promoting these products. I just pass on the information because I have purchased them and I am using them. One is called Amrit Kalash. That's AmritKalash. Dr. Yuki Nina, that's Nina, a Japanese researcher, studied more than 500 different antioxidants over a period of 30 years. And he found the most powerful and effective antioxidant in all those tested is an ancient Ayurvedic herbal preparation called Amrit Kalash. Research shows that the antioxidant capabilities of Amrit Kalash are at least 25,000 times more powerful than those of vitamin C and E. Taking it is like supplying you with a Star Wars deflective shield. This astounding ambrosia is composed of 44 different herbs and fruits that seem to work synergistically, enhancing the natural strength of one another's antioxidants. And it's also called a rasa yana, or that which negates old age and disease. Research has shown in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, patients who received this improved significantly on an age-related alertness task. Performance of this task is known to highly correlate with age. The older you are, the worse you normally do on this test, and this study showed that it could enhance the capacity for attention and alertness that predictably declines with age. And the other product is Haritaki, that's H-A-R-I-T-A-K-I, or Kadukai, which is spelled K-A-D-U-K-A-I, and it is called the drink of the gods, according to Swami Nityananda. And he says it is that which heals all diseases. And this wonder medicine removes the body's toxins in a natural way and makes one more energetic. It also purifies the blood and removes fat residues from the arteries and veins. It heals diabetes, hypertension, and heart problems. It helps the vision to become sharp. And no wonder, because it provides the body with 300% more oxygen, and taking it is equivalent to 2 hours of pranayams. So I wanted to repeat that information here on ET Yoga because I think it's the most fascinating and powerful natural products that I personally have ever come across. I'd like to take this time now to thank the ET Yoga audience and to wish you my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'd like to close out the show this evening in the usual manner, which is by sharing with you the Who Am I technique. And the idea here being that if, I guess if you're a purist, you would do something like your hatha yoga, then maybe some pranayams, even have a meditation, get to the highest place that you know how to be. And I guess as a side note, I'd say get there any way you can, and then do this technique. And it might be well worth your time and effort. And it's called the Who Am I technique. First heard about it from Baba Ram Das, and also subsequently from Sri Ramana Maharshi, who used to teach this technique to his highest disciples. And the technique basically is to put your full consciousness in the center of your forehead and then ask the question, who am I? And it can be done multiple times or whatever seems comfortable to you. And when you have your full total consciousness in the center of your forehead and you become that spot, asking the question, who am I? Then you state the following, I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all beings.